Previously on Follow the Leader. Today, we're playing The Magical Repair Shop by Ash Cheshire and Ed Turner. For those of you who are new to this game, here are the basics. A magic item is more than the enchantments that bind it together. The item's history is bound up in it. Any half-competent street mage can light a sword on fire, but the spark blade awarded to your grandfather during the War of the Frostlings isn't just any flaming sword. It's an heirloom. When your family's ancestral fairy domain begins to unravel, when a beloved familiar is injured, when your mum's ring of farsight gets spontaneously dispelled, sure, you could get a new one, but you could never truly replace it. That's why they come to us here, the heirs and inheritors and lucky magpies with their broken treasures that they entrust to us, through the door that reads, "Welcome to the Magical Repair Shop. Everything can be mended." For instance, for me, I've put together a warlock. That warlock is named Heath Mason, the color outside the Aurora. They've got they-them pronouns. I have set them up as an Eldritch Warlock, and to sort of demonstrate the scale of suggestions that this game gives out, which I love and also gave me very specific thoughts, I set them up with the specialty of working on, like, buildings, like, whole-ass, like, houses and shit. So I will get more into, like, brain-wise how I figure that they can stick that onto a workbench and work on it, but in terms of appearance, Heath is pale. I said they're built like a rectangle, because it just was, you know, stature-wise what came to mind. Generally dressing in a collared long-sleeve shirt with baggy pants, an apron, non-slip shoes, messy long black hair, streaked with white, loosely tied back and held up with a hair clip, one pencil eternally parked behind an ear, one notepad eternally in the apron pocket, with more or less blue and black clothes, but acid green reading glasses is kind of an accessory feature, worn around the neck with a silver chain. So
I'll be playing a warlock as well. My warlock's name is Lila Hayes, otherwise known as Beelzebub's Chosen. Uses she, her pronouns. So her style is a demonic pact with Beelzebub. But Lila is the kind of person who calls her patron Bubba. Because she's a rude, crude lady. She's got a tan skin, heavy build, stereotypical punk aesthetic with ripped leggings, a vest that's clearly a jean jacket with the arms cut off. She usually rocks heavy eyeliner and a spiked up mohawk that's dyed a kind of vivid, lurid yellow. Her specialty is musical instruments.
I am playing Vera Stoneshaper. She's sturdy and stout. She stands about breast height against her peers at the shop. Her arms are bare, covered in a layer of soft fur. Her beard is smooth and large and voluminous and braided into three plaits, one at the center longer than the ones at the sides. Piercings adorn her ears, the center of her bottom lip, and her septum. She wears heavy bangle bracelets of solid stone with gems pressed into them as though into clay. And on her apron, you can find just dust from various projects. She is an alchemist, and her style is mostly involving stones and gems. So from the most basic granite to the highest quality gemstone, she focuses a lot of her energy on the properties of various gems and their use in magic. And her specialty is, building on that, enchanted jewelry and charms.
Yeah, all right. I think Heath popping back in with, like, a big box of tea and just, like, two good-sized portions of, like, shawarma in a roll. Just, like, watching this. And they just sort of, like, one, hold a hand between, and then two, hold out, like, a halved roll for both Lila and Vera to maybe have.
I feel yeah. like Vera definitely, like, grabs it in her mouth and just, like, walks off to go sort through her many, many boxes of various scraps of stone that could be useful for this project.
Nice.
She's going through the library of materials to try to find something specific that she's looking for.
In particular, as Vera is doing this, by the way, and here's the actual move. I think Keith is watching watching her as she's working.
Nice. Yeah.
I think Lila takes the half of the roll and just like unhinges her jaw. not literally, but you know the kind of person who's just like, ow, nom, nom,
yeah,
and barely chews. And while she's barely chewing, she's like, thanks.
Yeah.
But that's like, yes. Lila and yes, her food.
You. Yeah.
Nice. How y'all feeling? You want to keep this montage rolling?
It's a cute little montage. I'm enjoying it. Oh, interesting. There's one of the moves is take a moment to talk about what you're doing. Play confessional, then continue with the scene. That's interesting.
Oh, is it time finally?
Is it time for a confessional? Does somebody have
it? I think it's time for a confessional.
Excellent.
We now return to your game, already in progress. Ah, confessionals. Sometimes you just need to take the time to talk about what you're doing and why it matters. Don't worry too much about who you're talking to. So one person gets to do this. They get to describe, if they haven't already, what their artism is like. Like source, style, specialty, what they look like, and what aspects of their personality shine through. When going through it, you get to talk in character, like you're talking to the viewing audience. Say a few lines about what you've been doing, why it's interesting or important. You can use sample topics that they provide, or just do something entirely different. What's the vibe, Vera?
All right, so right now I'm working on this amulet, and it had some protection stones in it. They weren't terribly strong protection stones. The woman who brought it to me said she bought it off some guy on the street, so you can probably tell it's not the highest quality. However, I think that I can make it a higher quality by replacing the stones that are currently in it. Like, see this hematite? It's shattered. But I think if I can use labradorite and some tourmaline and a little bit of... Well, I don't want to use hematite again because it's just going to shatter the next time she drops it. But I definitely want to use labradorite. She sort of trails off and she's sort of thinking about it. Long story short, I just need to figure out what the optimal organization of, and she's like going through these boxes next to her, like, of, I've got stones I need to find in here. And then I've got, yeah, so I just gotta start, you know, putting it all together. Anyways, so that's what I'm working on. Today's, you know, just another day. Got my best buddy, Lila. She's got a little bit of a grimace on her face there. Doing her best in the workshop, you know. Old college roommate, we still get along. We're just still, you know, best buddies. So we're... Roommates once again, in business.
I feel like that's a show name, Roommates in Business, by the way.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I love that.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's all I got.
That sounds like an end to that.
End confessional.
End scene. any last things people want to do in this montage, or do we want to move forward with it?
I think we can probably move forward, yeah.
All right, let's rock. After we play a move, if nobody else wants to take a turn, scene ends, so we can track progress further. So let's head back to track progress.
Right.
How's everyone feeling about how they're getting along with this?
I'm feeling pretty okay.
Nice. Progress-wise?
Progress-wise, yeah. I feel like I've done, like, another 2 progress bumps.
Yeah.
By examining stuff and then, like, starting to pick out the next Oh, I haven't been writing down my progress. progress report.
The biggest mood I have. Me staring at my emails going, what do I put down for this?
Right.
I think the dunking, the dream stuff and the alchemical reagent counts as one pip on the progress clock. Because it's a lot of, like, sitting there and waiting now.
Yeah.
It's slow work. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Heath has had a little jump. Put him at two more pips for half of the clock. I think for Dev, like, what they've been doing is they're trying to, like, appease the spirit through, like, feeding it first just to see, like one would do with, like, a stray.
Stray cat, yeah.
But maybe they just haven't been receiving, like, offerings or something from, like, the family because, like, I think with the Road Warden, it's been a little bit. They're not used to it. Maybe they came in from, like, out of town and got called back to it, and they're like, yeah, you know what? I will take it on. Yeah, out of, like, the spirit of cussedness and stubbornness or something in the family. But now Heath is just trying to get the thing, like, happy and maybe introduced and prepared to get back to it. For better or for worse, feeding, like, cups of tea over. I imagine that when they translate their stuff into the workbench space, they have to do it by scale physically. So either it needs to be real-sized materials that are on-site, and that's what gets stores on the sides, or stored on the sides, or it has to be, like, this thing where if they put a cup of tea in, then it has to be, like, a fully-sized one, and then it turns to scale as it goes down into the workbench. But
I just thought about, like, I love the idea of you having, like, a little, like, instead of being a full-size one that like, shrinks down as you put it in there, what if it was just, like, a dollhouse-size teacup that you're, like, placing in there? With, like, a couple of drops of
tea. It's full-size in the context, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just, like, put, like, a little, like, eyedropper of tea into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? That's the vibe. I'll take that. That's good. Yeah. Righto. Who think it's time to take a break?
Yeah, I think so.
So, take a break. Everyone needs time off. You need to take a little time for your mind and body and magic to recover. It's time to relax along with the people you work with. Get to know each other a little better. So, we can do this with two or more. The player who chose the scene declares where it's taking place. Any artisan who wants to may jump in at any point. I will pass the ball off to someone else to find out where it's taking place, though.
Do we have a break room?
Yeah, a break room? All right.
Well, I was saying, like, do we have one, or do we have, like, a section of the workshop that has a fridge and a sink in it that is, like, not at all blocked off from anywhere else in the workshop, but is, like, technically our quote-unquote break room?
There's, like, a rug, and that determines the,
there's a couch,
the boundaries
too.
Of it. Yeah, yeah, a rug, yeah. And a couch. The couch is the divide.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I think you get to choose the first topic, Sam.
All right, cool. I'm looking at the topics of conversation that the game gives us, and they're all really funny, but, like, very not the vibe.
Have you heard of the High Elves? It's that kind of, yeah.
The Great Seer of the Ratfolk claims they're going to make a device which lets them cross the Aether and touch the stars. Think that's gonna happen, really? No, that's not the vibe of this game. But it is really funny.
I do like that, though.
It's very funny.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I love these. They're very large scale.
They're very large scale, yeah. I feel like I'm going to, like, start immediately by being like, here's a question.
Uh-huh.
Do Vera and Lila still live together?
I don't think so. I think that would be a little much.
Yeah. I don't think so either. I just, like, it was a thought, and I was like, But yeah, no, I think they've finally given up on trying to live together because, oh my god. You know, roommates. Yeah. So I think then, yeah, Vera's immediately gonna be like, so how's your... What kind of pets does Lila have? Because immediately I imagined, like, lizards and stuff.
Oh my god, like a bearded dragon.
Yeah, like a little beardy and, like, maybe some snakes. Are we successful enough here that you can support multiple exotic animals on your budget?
I think a bearded dragon is the limit of what Lila can support at the moment. I don't think that we're dirt poor, but I don't think that we're
working artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also I feel like it's easier to provide in this setting where you could potentially grow things more easily for food.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah, so what's your beardy's name? What's Vera's beardy, or what's Lila's beardy's name?
God, it's gotta be something like, oh god, is it Crunk?
Is it Crunk?
Like after like after the crunk? Character from
oh yeah that's
no
him.
After the that's character crunk. From Emperor's New Groove
yeah
oh Kronk.
Kronk?
Yeah
I think it's Kronk.
It's Kronk, yeah, but yeah. Like calling it Kronk is like just brings up imagining of like yeah getting crunk.
maybe they're misnamed and it you find out later that it was Kronk, but then you just kind of keep rolling with it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So how's Kronk doing? I miss him.
Oh, you know how he is. You know, just tearing up everything, being a little shit. But he's doing good.
I miss him. You should bring him by the shop sometime.
Yeah. Sometime when we're not soaking things in volatile alchemical substances that he could get into and yeah. Potentially mutate.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. We don't want that to happen again.
Nah.
That and Keith poking in from behind the couch. That's happened? When did that happen?
Okay, so when we were both still trying to make college work.
Uh-huh.
We had a class where we were working on some like we were working together on like a potion, and Kronk was just sort of like out on the counter. I don't know why Vera's now kind of like Valley Girlish, but I don't know where this voice came from, but I'm rolling with it.
Just ride the vibe, yeah.
Yeah, just riding the vibe. So Kronk got into our potion's homework and turned into a really hard to describe. How would you describe it? Lila, how would you describe what Kronk turned into that time that he got into our potions homework? Unfinished homework, by the way.
like a bearded tarantula.
Yeah, he had like a couple more arms, but like still had the like skin texture of a bearded dragon. It was real gross.
It was a little weird, and then when we got him transformed back, he just kind of like shedded the arms, and that was super gross too, but it was kind of metal.
Yeah. And like, we kept the shed skin, and she like pulls out a little like they framed it.
Oh yep. I was wondering what that was. I thought it might have just been like a weird bug that you caught in the back of the
nope. Nope, that's our Krunk's freakish shed skin from some college incidents.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had anything like that. I don't really keep pets, but
honestly, it's for the best when you're in our business.
I think that's why. Yeah.
This little guy's my pet, and I like point over at Chert, and Chert just sort of like gives a blank stare and raises a hand.
Okay.
Puts it down and walks away.
Like, how did you, like, go about making Chert, by the way? Was that just, like, a inspiration thing? Was it, like, a family idea?
Oh, so, one of the things that alchemy, really likes to focus on is the building of constructs. And because my focus is on stones and stoneworking, so, like, I do this thing. This isn't, like, completely usual, but I'm able to shape the rock as though it were clay because of my she like picks up like a bottle of stuff. It's like my special sauce. It's a very don't touch this actually though. Like this is actually quite dangerous. She puts it but I use some of that and I just sort of like I had some books, of course, on Golemancy. That's like, it's a well-established field at this point. And a little chert over there was my very first golem, and I haven't really tried again since then because I love him to death, but he's not exactly the peak of golem design, I'll tell you that much.
I think I saw him running into a wall when I got into the store today.
Yeah, I really should replace his eyes with something that's like a little bit higher value, but he's an ongoing project.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, like first tries or, you know, proof of concepts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, I made him for my like freshman year Golemancy class.
Oh, there's history there. Okay.
Yeah, so I've had him for quite a while at this point. Because, like, if... How long ago would you say that Lila actually graduated?
Oh, gosh. Maybe, like, 5 years? I don't know if bearded dragons live that long, but...
I think they usually live around 10?
Okay. Yeah, so... And it's a magic world. He's exposed to magic. On the reg, so he could also have a magically extended life.
For better or for worse.
Nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, I know I tried to make a pet once, but the problem with making a pet out of this stuff, and like, Heath holds up a hand, and there's an orb which just looks like a colored mess, but not in the way that like, it would be a blend of colors. Like, it's not like the color brown. It's just prismatic and held to look at for longer than a few seconds.
Oof. Fear covers your eyes.
it doesn't get along so well when you try to put it all into one thing. Like, the only one that really succeeded was, like, my older brother. He managed to get some kind of weird wireframe elk? It's still really hard to look at, but it's in one piece.
I mean, do you want a golem? I'm pretty good. I'm like, okay. I say I haven't really made many golems since then, but like, I've done a couple, mostly for commission. They're not like the most advanced thing ever, but like, it's cheaper to come to me than like an actual golemancer. And so mostly for friends and family kinds of things. But, like,
I mean, yeah.
If you want a little pet, like, next time we don't have any projects in the shop, just, like, come over to my desk and we can figure something out.
Sure, yeah, we can work together. I've never done it before, so, like, I'd always like to see, like, another style, you know?
I still have my textbook around here somewhere. And she just sort of, like, looks around the shop at the chaos, the controlled chaos that is the shop, and goes, next time we've got some downtime, I'll take a look for it.
Wide angle pan over Vera's shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
Back over to face.
Yeah, we'll take a look around. All right.
Yeah, next time. Okay. Next time.
All right, folks. Let's get back to work though. Like it's getting a little bit we've had our mandatory, our government mandated 15-minute break. Let's get back to it. Stands up, takes a swig of the rest of her tea from the tea shop down at the end. Tosses the cup, like, perfect little, like, Kobe! Sorry, Fantasy Kobe!
Not even a new name, just Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
Lands it into the trash can, and heads back to her desk.
I think we, track progress after that, too, so...
Mm-hmm.
Shall we do a little bit of progress tracking?
Yeah, let's do some progress tracking.
I think the break has helped Heath think of a few things to do. So I'll give them a 5 out of 8 on their clock. Okay. They've got some ideas for how to work with the spirit and how to also, on one hand, I think they've determined that like the Watchtower still needs to depend on them and in fact should, but also maybe it would be a good idea if its dependency on the spirit's powers was lessened so the spirit was not fully devoted to having to watch over this construct that they've been brought into existence as a part of. How's work going for you two?
I think that the break was invigorating, but I'm not going to give her any points towards progress because I don't think she made any progress over her break, because that's what breaks are for.
full leaning in, complete relaxation, head empty. Let's go.
I think the dream stuff is dry now and ready to manipulate.
Ready for a second spinning.
Yep. So, I'm going to give 1 point of progress, which brings me up to 6 of 8. So I'm perilously close to fixing this lyre.
Great way to describe that. Perilously close.
I mean, it's not exactly a positive force in the world. It's, you know, it's meant to charm people.
Yeah.
So
that's very fair. Okay. We've had a break, but do we want to maybe put our heads together?
Yeah, I was thinking about suggesting that.
Yeah.
Ah, then we'll follow your lead on this one. So you're an expert in your field, but true experts know that they can't know everything. By enlisting the help of the other artisans, you benefit from their unique point of view. Their magical intuition and crafting skills can shed new light on a thorny problem with your own project, and in return, you might help with theirs. So this is a scene for at least two of us. The player who chose the scene, and that'll be you, August, is the lead artisan. Decide where you are, who you've asked to be there, and if you don't have a project already, you can create one now. The lead artisan describes something about their project which is making it especially difficult to work on. So we get to start with that, then we get to take turns to choose tests. If there's more than one project to choose from, we can choose which project we're testing. And the owner of the project gets to answer questions. And after everyone's done at least two, the lead artisan can pick a finish, which leads into the next scene. So,
all right.
How are you feeling, August? What's the big obstacle for Lila?
So I think Lila is stymied because the dream stuff just isn't spinning right. Mm-hmm. She thinks she's missing something in the process, like maybe there's a step that she missed, or, you know, she's just coming about it the wrong way. I think you're both invited to have a look at the project.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Heath will just take it first, and there's not really, like, strings on this, so I don't think they can use it the way that it was intended, per se. But they will hold it up and sort of look at the strings that are being spun.
Mm-hmm.
And through their glasses, there'll be sort of glints of color as they kind of turn it around, examine the angles, and try to get a sense of the magic that's imbuing it. And this is like primarily charm-based stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think as warlocks, we have a unique perspective on, like, the art of the deal and what exactly can draw people to request powers from patrons. So I think it's, like, taking that kind of allure, the allure that draws people in, and trying to externalize that. I think what they do is they start focusing not just on the sound that the lyre produces, but they start running a finger along the material, like the body of the lyre, and they start asking, like, hey, you know, is it all just about the resonance of the strings, or is there maybe something in here that you can use to, like, reinforce what's being built in there? Do you think it might help to have this in, like, close proximity, or to maybe have just something temporary resonating throughout it so you can reconstruct the strings? Like, what's your thoughts?
I don't know, noob. If I had any thoughts on it, I'd probably not be here, but yeah, okay. I think, I don't know.
Well, let me try a thing then. And so what Heath will do is they'll string the strange colors through where the strings should normally go instead.
Mm-hmm.
Just like strands of magic out of your fingertips?
Yes.
Nice.
Sort of, but also through, like, small portals almost. It's threaded through in a way that on direct observation doesn't exactly make sense, but don't think about it too hard, because that way lies madness, literally. They're not looking. They're just kind of, like, take a second to just run their fingernails along the strings with a strum. And, like, did the client provide a recording of any sort?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think like a recording wouldn't capture the important bits anyway. Okay. Like it would just sound like a regular lyre. There wouldn't be any sort of compulsion upon it. So I don't think that a recording would have been useful, so they didn't bring one.
That's fair. I think instead of that sense of like making your ears perk up and want to listen, there is more of like a mind blinking effect when the sound comes out, where, you know, like when you walk from one room to another, how you might forget a thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's like that. I think it's just like mental processes cut off for a fraction of a second long enough to where it's like, wait, what the heck were we doing?
Yeah.
Love it.
And Heath goes, yeah, that's not how that works, I think. Quickly retracting the strings. Handing it back.
I think this is the point where Vera comes over and is like, what are you two doing over here? And why did I just forget what I was doing?
Just trying to, like, figure out, snap, 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 how to get the strings working. Right, yes.
Got
right?
it.
Looking at Lila, right?
Yeah, that would make sense, I guess.
I'm gonna say I bring another magic item into close proximity to yours. The magic item in question is gonna be a little stone tablet with gemstones for sensing different magic archetypes that will glow when it comes close to, like each different stone is for sensing a different type of magic. And so I'm gonna take this little stone tablet and bring it close to the object. How do they react to each other? And is this, am I bringing it close to, like, what process were you trying to do when you realized things weren't working? Were you like trying to like load this dream fiber into the spinning wheel?
I think the dream fiber is in the spinning wheel. Mm. It's just like
not spinning.
It's not spinning properly.
Mm. It's coming undone. It's snapping. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what does the tablet say? What kind of magic is what happens to the tablet?
It's got to be enchantment magic, that lights up. But like I think the light is erratic.
Yeah.
Like it's blipping in and out.
Interesting.
Okay.
Hmm.
After every involved player is chosen at least twice, so that means we each have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
I start to rattle off an extended lecture on magical theory. Do you stop me? So I start to be like, well, if you think about it, the enchantment on the strings, if you're not twisting them in the correct direction, then the twist of the magical fiber within the sort of physical fiber of the magical dream would begin to unravel. Like, was it a happy dream or a sad dream that you were using here? Like, what kind of dream are you thinking here? Because if it was a small, you know, I'm just going to keep, like, rambling on, like, do I say anything of use to you, and do you stop me from just, like, rambling?
I think at some point, you do say something that kind of, like, sends a light bulb blinking in, Lila's head, and she's just like, whoa, cool your jets. I think I got this.
Nice.
And
I think while Vera is rambling, I think Heath will go for, I try to take the object apart, do you let me, and what do I find? So Heath starts looking at the strings that are being spun, and focusing like really hard through the glasses, you can start to see the color playing around through the fibers.
So do you like untwist it?
Not like untwisting it, but like it's like threading the colors through just to see how it's all twisted together.
I see.
Yeah, I think you can detect the kind of dream that it was by doing this, and it was just like a very mundane dream, and that is affecting the way it needs to be twisted in order to form a cohesive strand. But yeah, Lila lets you do it. You know, she asked for help in her own way, so.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can get it retwisted in the right way then. All right. We've all chosen twice. What's the finish?
I think it was a useful get-together, and we're all energized to get back to work.
Hell yeah. Montage time again.
Montage time again. All right. Let's get some working done. So, I think for Heath's side, getting a chance to turn to something else tells Heath that they probably need to go a little further outside their own ken. So they start staring off into space. they stop in front of their workbench and just look upwards, and there's like an aurora floating over their head as they just kind of contemplate like colors and spirits and attitudes and how to kind of thread things through in a different way.
Vera is energized to get back to it. She sits down at her desk. She spends a bunch of time tinkering with the item. She pulls out that bottle she was talking about earlier and, like, touches a very small amount of it to her fingertip and then uses it to, like, scoop bits of stone out of the, like, blocks of stone that she had pulled out of storage and is, like, using her fingers to, like, shape it as though she were sculpting. Occasionally, you know, checking against the amulet to see if it's, if the pieces are about the right size. Sometimes she'll like take one of the stones she's working with and like move it to another location and like touch a circle that it's sitting in to like see what happens. And sometimes it'll give like a little bit of like a sputtering and like some sparks will fly and then she'll just shake her head. I think I just described two different things happening.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fine. I think I'm going to research is my move. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through some a shelf of books, pull out an Oniromancy tome, and do some research on how to twist dreams to make this strand work correctly.
Nice. I think Heath will start doing a ritual. They've had time to think about how they can rethread things within the tower. Now they actually are starting to fix up the magical circuits as they're laid out so that they aren't so burdensome on the spirit. In addition to appeasing it, also making sure that it is not having to like devote its whole being in. So they take the lights, they look around and make sure that the components that are in there aren't drawing so much. Like, their standard was like 200 years ago, and they've maybe done like minor updates since, but now it's time for like a major refitting. So they throw a little bit of their patron's magic into it when they start fixing it up in this ritual.
I think next, Vera spends a little bit of time carefully shaping some runes into the front faces of the gems with her, like, with her fingernails and, like, a couple of, like, careful little sculpting tools, occasionally dipping one of them into the, bottle of special sauce, TM, to add a little bit of extra zhuzh to the magical protection of the amulet.
Okay.
I think for Lila, we're back to the spinning wheel, but with renewed vigor, she's applying all of the knowledge that was imparted upon her. And as the filament comes together, it starts to glow.
Ooh.
Kind of like a silvery glow as the fibers form a cohesive whole.
I think that Vera's gonna stop and watch Lila do this, like, not for, like, a terribly long time, but, like, I think, you know, a minute or two of, like, oh, hey, now you got it. Give her a little, like, like, companionous. That's not the word I was looking for. A little amiable, like,
companionable.
Pat on the back. Like, yeah, there you go. I like to think that with Lila sitting at the spinning wheel and Vera standing up, they're about the same height. Yeah.
I think Heath, also taking a bit of interest, will carefully set, like, a drink of some kind nearby so Lila doesn't have to, like, get up and interrupt the spinning.
Aw.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Help our people along.
I think Vera, after giving that little bit of encouragement, is going to get back to work carving a new central stone for the amulet, like clearing out a space, getting out some soldering tools to put like a larger central stone in for added protection, and she's going to carve the evil eye into the middle of it, and it's going to be a big old labradorite. No, what she's going to do is she's going to, like, as though she's sculpting with, like, Sculpey clay or, like, some other, like, colored polymer clay, create a sort of, like, composite rune out of multiple gems, like, stuck together into this eye shape.
Hell yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. I think the last part of that ritual that Heath is performing is to take the lights and realign them. The way in which they've changed is that formerly they had, like, sort of a nice, like, soft glow. Now the fortunate or unfortunate result is that each of the lights glows sort of like that, but there's, like, a little offness about it. There's, like, a ring around almost the edges of the light that has a different color for each one. Directionally helpful, a little unsettling.
Hmm.
I think Vera's gonna take a little bit of a break to, like, lift up the like the drink and, like, just, like, give it to Lila, like, just, like pours it into her mouth a little bit, because, like, both her hands are full. She can't actually pick the drink up to drink it.
Oh my god.
Vera's just like, oi, fluids. Pours this into your mouth.
Stat, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It just makes me think of that one Tumblr post that's like, my boyfriend was, like, complaining about how close me and my roommate were, and I was, like, giving him a whole talk about how he shouldn't feel insecure about it, and then my roommate came in and was like, hey, try this, it's gross, and spat it directly into my mouth.
Oh my god.
It's like, that's the Tumblr post, that's not what happens here, it's just what it made me think of.
No. Incredible.
Yeah. Just like, oh, you live together. I feel like they were roommates after they dropped out for at least a while. Like, they lived together for much longer than they were in college together.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to track progress? I feel like we've all done some stuff.
Yeah, I think it's progress tracking time.
I'm going to give myself 3 pips of progress. I did quite a lot. Oh, nope. I want to give that brings me up to 6.
Nice. I'll put a 2 on for a 7 of 8. Done a lot of the rewiring and the subsequent fixing of external factors.
We should have another confessional.
Oh, we should.
We should.
I'm up to 7 of 8 as well, because the last step is to actually string the thing. So,
nice. Honestly, I think I could be up to, like, 7 out of 8. Like, I can't think of much more that would need to be done to this amulet, except turns it into a fraction.
Hmm?
No! that is a 7-6 fraction. Thanks, Google Docs. That's not what I wanted. Yeah. Yeah, I think what it is, oh man, confessional time? I think it's confessional time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Heath is, like, holding up the scale model and, like, demonstrating the lights and going, like, so, you know, I have a problem with my patrons sometimes where I just want things to work, right? And work normally, but They always have to add, like, a little touch. And sometimes it's just, you make it look funny. Like, once I had my bedside lamp turn into a triangle, it still worked the same. Which is really weird because, like, the light bulb was floating outside of it and still projecting light as if it still had a shade on it. But other times it's like, I wanted to get a rug of mine fixed up, and I asked them for help, and it turned into just, like, the worst rainbow mess. And walking on it felt really bad, and I had to end up throwing it out. So, I think we've worked out an understanding, and they're, like, flashing the lights at the camera. I think this is probably not so bad, right? You know? They won't be annoyed. It'll just feel like they're being protected, but maybe not by the friendly neighborhood road warden as much, right? I think, you know, could always do a little better, but one step at a time. We'll work out that understanding. Smiling at the camera.
The camera person gives a thumbs up.
Nice.
I love the idea of just, like, somebody sticking their thumb in front of the camera, like, oh my god.
In frame, yeah. Like, it's a YouTube video.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's really good.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I, almost finished with my project, would like to show it off.
Hey, show off time.
Hey.
Show off time.
You're not necessarily one for strutting around and preening, but you take pride in your work, and showing it off to others is part of the reward. So, let them see what you've been up to. This is for one artisan with an active project and a crowd that they're addressing. The crowd may include the other artisans, the client, and any other interested parties, assistants around the shop, experts in the field, or folks passing by. So you, who chose the scene, get to describe where you are and your actions as you show off the magic item. Make it clear what's extraordinary about it. Everyone else gets to choose a character to play, and we get to pick a piece of praise from the appropriate list to lavish upon the artisan, who then answers the questions asked.
I feel like this is, like, out front in the sort of lobby area of our shop, where, you know, definitely, like, outside the workshop, I've got it, like, in my hand. I'm sort of, like, I've brought it out here to look at it in the sort of natural light of the shop front. And, yeah. So she takes it out there and is like, oh, maybe to, like, somebody, maybe one of the tea shop employees is out there. And so she's like, take a look at this. This was a protection amulet that my client brought in that was so broken. And I've made a few upgrades to it. I added a central runestone to really, like, focus the energies of it, and I used a couple different stones for it. Yeah, check it out. And just sort of, like, put it down on the counter.
Yeah, I think that tea shop employee, like, one, they're dropping off a drink.
Yeah.
Sort of, like, giving you a refill, but they're like, wow, that's, like, a really cool piece. Like, does it just do protection? Did you put anything else on it? Any new abilities that are there? Unexpected ones? Like, what's the vibe?
So, you didn't hear it from me. But it's also got a sort of counterspell where if the wearer is attacked by a magical entity, it will, think of it like thorns on armor, you know, spikes. Like, if you hit me, you get hurt. It's got sort of that in it. So it's not just a repellent anymore. It also, you know, strikes back.
It's like a backlash.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Dropping off drink. Well, here you go.
Thank you. Glug. I pay you for it also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. Thank you for your patronage.
Of course. And you as well.
How about you, August? Someone in the crowd? Is it also Lila out to take a look? Is it Mirella, maybe?
I think it's fun if it's Mirella.
Oh, she's back already. Has she just been, like, waiting here for it instead of, like, leaving like she was supposed to?
No, I think, what if you, because you're at 7 of 8, what if you, pinged her early to be like, actually, it'll be ready today?
Yeah, that seems correct. It's like, I'm just about done with it. I still need to, like, test some of the features, but it's at least, like, most of my, like, crafting work is done. So if you want to come see it and, like, give some feedback before I finish it up, now's the time.
And I think Mirella, like, looks really, really surprised when she sees the amulet, and I'm going with, it looks so new. Did you learn anything about where it came from?
Yes, in fact. It seems to be, like, partially of dwarven origin, which is very often the case with stuff that contains so many protective stones, but not entirely of dwarven origin. It looks like there are some other, like, less distinctive magical signatures in it that make me think maybe somebody else, like, got a dwarven artifact and then tried to change it somehow. That might be why you found that it was so fragile when you dropped it. Sorry, when the incident happened. My bad. because it had been tampered with since its production by the artisan that created it.
Wow, fascinating. And this is actually probably, you know, not that you've seen much of Mirella, but she looks genuinely interested and isn't, like, looking so squirrely.
Nice. I'm glad that she's feeling a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the moment. Okay. Scene ends after he responded to praise from each of the other players, or he could have done it early if you liked, but the artisan thanks the others for coming by and leaves. Then we can track progress.
Nice. So what have you guys been up to while I've been showing off my work?
I think just the last steps. I think Heath has rounded this thing out. Just had to do that last bit of work and get the spirit kind of resettled back in, and it's a building. It's done, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think there's a shot of I don't fucking know how lyre strings are strung, but
knowledge check.
I think it may be the case that Lila consults Bubba for guidance on this, and especially because, like, this is charming magic and stuff, Heath was implying earlier, like, the connection between a warlock and their patron lending itself to helping with this kind of thing. So we see Lila restringing the lyre and looking very proud when the last string is strung, and then the whole lyre, like, starts to glow a little bit before the glow, like, dissipates.
Nice work.
Hella.
All right. And I think that, like, after showing it off to the client and the client basically giving the okay of that it's good, she puts it in a circle and, like, basically the equivalent of putting, like, a thick clear coat, but, like, magically over it. Maybe she, like, encases the whole thing in, like, a thin layer of quartz or something scratch resistant. Maybe a thin layer of, like, clear sapphire, which is going to be a little bit less brittle, less shatter prone.
Yeah.
So, like, she gets, like, a really, like, how about this, actually? She takes a little bit of clear sapphire and drops it into, like, a small cup with this secret sauce, stirs it around until it's sort of a thick paste, and then brushes it on. She blows on it, and it's done.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Do we all three want to go through delivery and then wrapping it up?
Yeah. I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah.
All right. Delivery. This is what it's all about. When you finally repaired the item and get to return it to the person who loves it, there is no more fulfilling part of the day. So each of us gets to go through. In this case, it's for everyone or one artisan that's completed their project. Someone else gets to be the client. So artisan gets to describe where they are. The client, if they haven't already been established, gets to describe who they are and what they look like. And it'll be a case where you present it to the client, do a brief exchange where the artisan shows how it's functioning again, possibly better than before, and the client thanks them for their hard work. If the client finds themselves at a loss for words, they can go for praise from showing off to sort of heap that onto the artisan. So, who wants to go first? Who thinks they want to turn it in first?
Well, Morella's already in the shop, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get Vera. So Vera, you know, pulls the amulet back out of the back and goes, "All right, Madam Morella, your protection amulet is finished and ready for pickup."
Morella looks so relieved and is just like, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you."
Of course.
As she takes the amulet.
I've also included a complimentary chain for it. I noticed that the chain was a little bit worse for wear when you brought it in, so I have replaced that as well. And as she goes, "Would you like me to help you put it on?"
Morella nods and, like, takes a step closer so Vera can, like, put the chain around her neck.
Yep. Vera does her little... She comes back out around the counter, comes up behind Morella, and places it around her neck. Clasps off the charm, gives her a gentle little pat on the back and goes, "There you go, that should keep you safe."
And she just looks so relieved. She glances over her shoulder. Clearly she had seen some sort of omen in the parking lot, but the tension kind of drains from her because, like, the omen has cleared up. And she says, "What do I owe you?"
Oh, sort of taps her the side of her, like, beard. Oh no, she strokes the middle braid of her beard. Well, for labor, it'll be, sort of does a little bit of calculations. Looks like you're coming to a couple hundred gold or an item of equivalent worth.
Morella takes out a coin purse, and brings out an appropriate amount of gold plus a generous tip.
Goodness, thank you very much for your patronage.
No, thank you.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
All right, next delivery scene.
All right. I think Heath would have to travel out of the shop.
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe so.
So they go on a drive, and I think they're in kind of like a beater of a sedan.
Excellent.
Nothing fancy. Maybe the headlights are a little screwy, but that's really about it. So they get all the way out to the actual job site to sort of witness what they did at full scale. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need a road warden to come out and receive me here, though.
All right. A warden approaches you. Let's say he's an older gentleman. Looks a little bit frazzled.
Yeah.
Let's say he is... He's got sort of a fey look about him. He might be like half elf. You don't really know. His ears are a little pointy. He looks a little bit stretched. But otherwise, he's just like, you know, an older guy wearing some sort of uniform, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Like a traditional something or other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Heath will approach and give a light bow and, like, "Glad to have worked on it. Is everything working as you expected?"
"Ah, you must be the, artisan who was working on it. It does appear to be, I must say, it was quite the sight to see the building rearranging itself."
"Yeah, I just... had to futz around with the lights a little bit, make sure they were all back in their proper place."
"Well, they certainly seem to be back in their proper place. Give me a walk. Let me give you a walkthrough of the actual space, and you can tell me what you've done with it."
"Yeah, sure. Please, by all means, lead the way."
So he brings you in through the front door. Whereabouts did you, in the tower, did you say the spirit resides?
I think the spirit would probably be more towards the top of it, nearby the lights, but not like on the topmost floor, just somewhere more towards where the tower would be, like, centrally.
Perfect. Do you think that there is some sort of magical or otherwise elevator in this tower, or is it stairs all the way?
Oh, man. Stairs all the way is funny, but there has to be a lift. The thing's magical, after all. You don't want to, like, tire people out going up and down. It's good for fitness, but for readiness, maybe not so much. It's easier to just shoot them straight up to the top.
All right, well, then you get into the elevator with this, old man.
This old man? Yeah, no, and I think when Heath gets there, the first thing that Heath does is they would have, like, a box under their arm. Mm-hmm. And they'll have the rest of the tea leaves that they had. They'll take it and sort of place it in front of the vessel that the spirit's in. I think one of the things that they would have done is sort of expand the vessel a little bit so the spirit had more room to work within. But also, like, noting, like, so I did make sure to kind of update how the standards of this work, because, like, 200 years ago when this was built, you know, it was perfectly well and good then, but we've had a lot of advances since then. Like, our mediums for directing spiritual energy are a lot more efficient. So I thought that it would be good to lessen the load and make sure that, you know, your ongoing relationship with the spirit is sustainable, not just for you, but for the rest of your family or your inheritors or whoever takes over after this fact.
Hmm.
And they will sort of deposit the box of tea by the vessel to be sort of taken in as the spirit needs.
Hmm. Excellent. And what is that you've got there? Is there something I'm meant to do with that?
Well, this is... It's just a bit of greenery for the spirit to rely on to draw a little bit of vigor from. It's not my exact area of expertise. I'm a little more attuned to buildings and things within them. Mm-hmm. But I think you still do need to remember to provide offerings every so often to make sure that your spirit is comfortable, that it has energy to draw from, that it isn't just running on empty for years on end. Because that's really what causes it to become discontent, I think.
I see. Well, thank you so much for your expertise and your help in this effort. Well met.
I do. I always appreciate a project, and I'm just as happy to have worked on yours. But of course, you know, a little recommendation goes a long way. If you have others that are running across the same thing, I'd be more than happy to help them maintain as well.
Excellent. I'll be sure to recommend you to my friends.
Thank you. And, of course, well, you've already paid in advance, but I think we should be fine from here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that, Heath will start the long drive back.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah, he gives you a little tip for your solid work.
Nice. I think that leaves Lila.
Yep. Who would like to be somebody who is 1/8 siren?
I think I could take on a 1/8 siren. Is this more of a siren of the sky or of the sea, do you think?
Of the sea, I think.
Okay. I think what it is, and where would you be meeting them for this?
I think this is at the shop. I think that they agreed to meet here. As opposed to being a delivery.
Okay. So I think this is someone who, like, it could be described by the word breeze. Like, you can kind of feel salt air around them as they walk in. Very, like, loose clothing. Very much, like, sea-colored. I think their eyes are, in fact, like, colors of sea glass. Two different mm-hmm. ones, but... You can almost see where the lightning struck the shore. They're also going to have on, like, just bangles up and down one arm, on the other arm, just sort of a wristband. Something to keep their hair back, but not tied down, more just like a band sort of around the forehead and back.
Mm-hmm.
Just comfortable loafers. Does not look insidious, but there's something a little bit of the glint of the smile or the image you see when you look at them out of the corner of your eye, for instance, that suggests there's something more there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll step up to the counter and go, okay, I'm here as called. Is it all done?
Yep. your setup, and Lila will pull out the lyre and kind of push it across the counter and be like, oh man, does she offer for them to give it a strum?
does she risk it?
I've got an idea for what would happen. Like, the client gives it a strum, and there's like the smell of sulfur because Bubba doesn't like the idea of his servant being charmed.
I think this client will. I think I'll name Nereos. They'll pick up the lyre and they will give it a sort of run through with fingers to feel each of the strings as they go by.
And I think Vera like steps out of the back room and is like, "Wow, what a beautiful song!" And then like as soon as it ends, her like expression shifts to annoyed and is like, "Could you warn us before you're gonna let someone test something like that in here?"
Just immediate change in expression.
Yeah.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Well, working as intended then. That's good to see. How do you like here? You know, obviously I can pay you, but I want to give you a little something on top of that. They'll reach into a pocket and produce tickets. Like, how many of you are in the shop? Like, do you think you'd maybe like to come see a show?
Lila looks around and is like, yeah, there's three of us here. I think we could stand to be cultured every once in a while. Which is really rich coming from her, but
yeah.
Girl with a mohawk in the front of a shop.
Yeah, we could be cultured. Yeah, that's very funny.
Yep. Vera probably rolling her eyes.
Oh yeah. Like, all right, sure.
With a little bit of sleight of hand, they'll the one ticket will be split into three, and they'll hold it out to Lila. Yeah, I'm usually like out and about, but you can find me. This one is over by like the docks. You know, there's a little fresh catch restaurant out there that I go by every so often when I'm drifting through town. You can catch me there, like, in a couple of evenings or so.
Lila grins wide and is just like, all right, dinner and a show. We're there.
Nice. And here's your payment, too. They'll drop a sack of coins on the counter.
Nice.
Okay, well, don't be late. I'll be expecting to see you all there. And they'll do one more just tiny strum as they walk out, like casting a glance over their shoulder as they go.
Mm-hmm.
Woof. Vera's gonna look at Lila and be like, just like nodding her head, like, okay, nice.
We've gotten into something.
Fucking useless lesbians, the both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Keith, unaware, driving back.
All right.
Okay, I think it's time to close up shop.
Yeah, it's time to close up shop.
Yeah.
Okay, you're done for the day. Maybe you finished the project you were working on. Maybe it's got a little work left in it. Either way, you've done everything that needs to be done for now. It's time to pack up and go home. So we all get to do this. We all do it when we're all finished, if we're ready to go, or we don't want to do any more scenes. We're all finished, so we'll call it that way. So we can take turns in any order doing winding down moves from the list. We answer its question and narrate our artisan's actions. After each of us has done at least one, we can do an exit move, after which we're out of the game. And once we're all gone, scene and game is done. So let's wind down. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Yeah.
Has Heath made it back to the shop yet?
Yeah, I think Heath would have like made it back a little while after Nereos has left.
Okay. So I think I make a special effort to pass by a fellow artisan as I'm tidying up. So I pass by Heath and kind of like look over their shoulder. And generally make myself a nuisance.
Yeah, I think they're looking over, like, a business card or something they got from the Road Warden and trying to figure out, like, how to square that into work coming up. Mm-hmm. But, you know. Okay. They'll pass it to Lila as well to take a look, seeing like, hey, we might have more of this coming down the line.
Hell yeah.
Maybe they'll have, like, really old pianos or something to work on.
Ooh.
Lila looks a little wistful.
adorable.
Very good.
I'm gonna ask another artisan to help me clean up, and I'm gonna be like, hey, Lila! There is dream fluff all over the shop right now. Can I get you to please help me sweep it up?
yeah. I mean, it'll dissipate in a couple of days, but...
I don't want to have fucked up dreams. It's going to stick to my clothing. I'm going to get home and I'm going to have a weird dream.
It wasn't a weird dream. It was pretty normal. But Lila's getting a broom and dustpan and starting to sweep it up.
Yeah. I think I'm also grabbing a broom and, like, sweeping it into a pile for them to sweep up. We're definitely going to have a moment of, like... fucking sword fighting with the brooms, though. Like,
broom jousting. Oh, yeah.
Just broom, yeah.
Absolutely.
Broom jousting. God, this fucking shop is so rowdy.
Tuck yeah. One, like the broom end of the arm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does this impact Heath at all?
I think Heath is just sort of like, they're doing stuff in the workshop. I'm gonna stay out of the way for the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably used to this ship by now.
Yeah. It's better to just, you know, not be in the kitchen when the cooks are cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will instead glance over the accounts one last time to figure out what resources are running low on and what they have too much of here. So I think after all of this going about, like, they have some things to restock for their model kit. Like, they have some materials that they probably need to restock for Lila's end too, since they had to come in from the outside with the dream materials for the strings. It sounds like Vera doesn't let them handle the jar of the special sauce, but Heath is making a note. Just a note.
Yeah.
Might
be. Vera definitely makes the special sauce herself out of, like, reagents that they might be running low on, though. Like, there's a whole alchemy set up in one corner that, like, hasn't been touched today, but is definitely there.
Yeah, Heath makes a note for, like, general alchemical materials to get restocked. Like, I assume just the essentials more than anything else. And then, like, they start marking out, like, the dream fluff, for instance, which we probably need to get rid of somehow if it doesn't already dissipate. Probably have, like, leftover materials from that, because you always make a little more than you need. Yeah. They definitely have, like, way too much left over from trying to appease that spirit that they kind of kept back because they weren't sure how much they would have needed. So they're going to have to figure out how to, like, utilize that. They're thinking maybe they'll mix it in with Vera's materials.
That's fair.
Probably just, like, other alchemical byproducts that they need to get rid of too.
Yeah.
So they're busy, like, marking that up as I assume the rowdiness dies down on the back.
Yep. So I know what Lila's exit move is. I don't think I have a family to pick me up, though. Yeah, I think I'm going to leave slowly and hesitantly, as if I still have work I want to do. You know, I'm looking at Chert and going, I could really stick around and, like, do some work on you, huh? Look at the clock, look down at Chert, look at the clock and be like, I can't. Give him a little pat, and then head out with hey Heath, could you lock up tonight? Over the shoulder.
Yep. I'll get it.
Thanks.
I think Lila exits the way that she came in.
You can hear the guitar solo distantly as Lila exits.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's definitely, like, and if you'll allow me, if this is fine, That vibe that, like, a song that someone plays to, like, hint at people needing to leave.
Oh, like playing somebody off a stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
whenever I, like, used to watch performances, like, Ben Folds doing shows in, like, the Kennedy Center locally, at the end of those shows, he would, the stage would be playing, like, All By Myself. So as you go, like, All By... I can't sing that right now. That's not going to work with my voice currently, but...
Valid.
When you're not warmed up. but yeah, Heath will lock up, and I think that includes... like, some more of that last, like, sweeping up, grocering, making sure things are collected, like, binding up the things that they have to get rid of for the byproducts. A lot of that, like, helps. It's kind of funny because, like, obviously, like, the lights in the workshop are off. They don't really need them to see so well, because as they are cleaning and as their patron is assisting with it, it's almost like a rave inside for a little bit.
Nice.
Just lights coming out the windows in a really suspicious manner. But yeah, and as they step out, they lock the doors, pull the shutters down, lock that, and get back into the sedan and get ready to go. Okay.
That was a nice game. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's got some good vibes. I enjoy that. That's good coziness leading into, the midst of the winter season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's us for today. So... well, thank you, everybody, for playing. This has been a pleasant time for the Magical Repair Shop. And I think I'm so ready to just relax. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks, everybody. This has been a great show. Again, my name was Corey. You can find me on cohost.org at Missy Nim. You can find me on Twitter at Endless Musings. And hooray. And with me today has been August.
Hello, I have been August. You can find me on Blue Sky at Harpy Dora, on Tumblr at Strange Harpy, and rounding out our ragtag band of magical repair shop workers has been Sam.
Hello, I've been Sam. You can find me on Tumblr at Sassy Tail, and you can find my website at www.samkalo.art. And at some point, you'll be able to find my work for sale at sketchpound.com. But not yet.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Go follow our Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find us on Tumblr at FTLcast and also at FTLcast.com. And as mentioned, we also have a Patreon at patreon.com/FTLcast. Please go check out the show. I know we've got materials that are also Patreon exclusive, so... yeah, give those a listen if you get a chance. Anything else? Spread the word.
If you like what we've got, post about it on Tumblr, probably, because that's where we'll see it. But wherever you're posting, post about it with the FTLcast hashtag, and maybe we'll share your post. And we just love seeing the people are listening to and enjoying our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But until then, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Let's clap.
Clap.
Clapping.